Commodity broker Gordy Kulev with Chido Commodities joins us for the weekly ag market recap. Gordy, going to be interesting to hear how you explain what happened this week, a week that's just mind-boggling. Beans rally a dollar a bushel in a couple days, corn up 50 cents a bushel. We give a bunch of it back. So the real question is, was the April Fool's Day early with the USDA acres and stocks report, or was April Fool's Day really on April Fool's Day on Thursday?
Well, that's the kicker. The shock to me, I guess, in a lot of respects, was the crop report. You know, I mean, I thought it was going to be a negative report, but you kind of got to go into it realizing that the USDA might tell the truth. You know, like I said, you want to be a little bit long, probably with some options. But I kind of figured if they're going to make it bullish, it would be the stocks that did it. If they were going to make it bearish, it'd be the acres. It was the acres that made it so friendly. I mean, the stocks were actually a relatively neutral number. It was the acres that were the real surprise. And when you look at their history of the last 5 or 6 years of, you know, pumping up acres at all costs, it really was a shock to a lot of people. And today, a lot of the commentary is, well, how is that possible? Where did all those acres go? But, you know, we reacted really positively. Within seconds of the report, we were up limit. And, you know, after the report, I think we did like 18,000 contracts of May corn, a couple thousand contracts of the beans up limit. So the number of people that were able to buy it up, they're relatively modest, gapped up last night. But following the pattern of basically every report so far this year, the funds came back in last night on a higher opening and just attacked it all with a vengeance. I mean, big volume day today. Yesterday was a relatively modest volume day, even with all the action. Today was a big volume day. And the funds basically beat us up and made a key reversal out of it. Opened higher, closed weaker. Did the same thing back in January. Got the report. Big reaction to it. And then, you know, with the very next day on the beans and a couple days later on the corn, the funds came after this stuff. And in corn in February, they just attacked it and just really, you know, took the air out. And, you know, it's worked for them every report. Like I said, they've sold every report after the reports come out. But, you know, all they've been able to do in the long run is keep the market sideways. And now this report, and again, sort of like they did in January, it was called a game changer. And they came back in and sold it again, you know, last night. So funds don't like to be long reports. They like to sell. They hate being long. I mean, we've talked about it for 20 years. They'll buy crude oil no matter what, you know, and they sell grains almost no matter what. And today was just another prime example.
The mind-boggling part about it is we were sideways since February in the range. We blew through out of the range, contract highs in corn and beans in the overnight session. By the close today, guess what? We're back in the darn range again that we've been in for 3 months.
Yeah, but again, notice the pattern. For the February crop report, you know, corn popped up to 572 just before the report, took out a high of the trade range. They closed it down 7 for the day. We went from 72 down to 43, and 3 days later, we were down at 23. You know, we dropped the corn 50 cents in basically 3 trading days. And, of course, then we had a reversal day. Corn closed back up 7, and we've been sideways ever since. But same difference. We made a new high for the move. Funds blasted it, sold it all the way back down again. That's been one of the things they've done, I'd say, the last year or two, is in so many cases we made a new high, the funds came back and sold. I mean, just, you know, going all the way back into, you know, like November, we had the same thing. We had a day where the November crop report, you know, corn was up that day and broke out, made a new high for the move. And within 4 days, we were back down to where the report, you know, took us out from. The difference is we started back up after that again, but the funds have sold after almost every crop report. And it's just a pattern they have. And it's so infuriating because they're long. They're selling against themselves, theoretically, which should take money out of their own pocket. But, you know, they don't seem to care. I mean, it just, like I say, these hedge fund guys are not the brightest bulbs on the Christmas tree. You know, we see them failing time and time and time again. You know, stories about these funds blowing up and, you know, when this happened 2 weeks ago. And these guys just continue to keep on failing. But, you know, the bottom line is people keep giving them more money and they keep having money to play with. And now they've got even bigger positions to play with, you know, 75% more in the grain. So I think they're playing with it. But the good news is, you know, we're just using too much stuff. Export sales today were 31.5 million. We only have to sell 13 million more corn to hit our target. There were only 4 million beans, but we only have to sell 14.5 to hit our target. So even at that, you know, crummy pace, you know, before April's done, we'll have hit our target. And the interesting bit, you know, every export sales day we get an update on our export shipments for the week. And they raise both the corn and the bean shipments fairly substantially. So corn, they have us exporting 77.9 million bushels last week. So that's up, I think, 9 million or 10 million from where it was on Monday. And the beans, 16.9. So now we're over 2 billion. They've got us actually shipping 20 billion 14. And, you know, so we only have to sell or ship, you know, less than 250 million now to hit our bean target, like 235 million to hit our target. So, you know, even at 20 million a week, it's only a couple of weeks, you know, 10 weeks to go and we're done.
Well, on the bright side this last week, I guess, was the hogs. Boy, they were gapping and going a number of days.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I mean, with grains going up, the meats didn't really react terribly badly to it, except yesterday feeder cattle did. But you look at the June hogs, and they gapped up on Monday, and we kind of backed and filled for the most part after that, but we ended up closing on our highs today. So the hogs continue to break out. Like I said last week, you know, the hogs, they're kind of on an upward move. A little bit of help out of the hog report. I mean, it kind of came in sort of on the guesses. It wasn't really a shock, but just kind of confirming that the hog herd is actually down a little bit. And, you know, you look at things like the cold storage. It's not building, so whatever's going on, we're using enough. And again, when you, I guess you look at the retail side, pork is a whole lot cheaper than beef, and you know, the pork and poultry continue to see really good consumer demand. And we don't know what's happening with the Chinese hog herd. I mean, the local guys here in the U.S. are talking about it as if it's a disaster. The Chinese are saying, yeah, we kind of got control of it this time around. It's not that bad. But even so, I mean, any decline in their herd is just more decline in hogs, and it just feels like the path of least resistance is up. There the funds are buying. I mean, the commitment of traders doesn't have them excessively long, but it's just a background level of extra support, and it just keeps kind of grinding higher. And you know, cattle, on the other hand, you know, we've been doing this buy the, you know, hog, sell the cattle trade for a while, and, you know, didn't really happen too much this week. I mean, the cattle sort of drifted up this week, too. I mean, it wasn't exciting. It wasn't anything crazy, but they're kind of breaking out across the board. You know, we had a couple of days worth new highs for the move. And even though we've kind of backed off a little bit on Friday, a little profit taking, we're still, I think this is the highest close we've had, you know, on a weekly basis now for a couple of years. And cattle look good too. There's more upside. And again, commodities as an asset class, there's just more and more talk about, you know, inflation. This morning, one of the big multinational food companies, a letter to shareholders, talk about they're going to be raising prices of consumer goods because they're seeing inflationary pressures on the wholesale side. So, I mean, it's just, you know, more talk of inflation out there and more retail type stuff. And I just, more and more people are going to start thinking in terms of, you know, commodities slash inflation. And that should pretty much help most of the, you know, markets rise down the road. And in crude, a couple of big swings back and forth, but toward the end of the day came firming back up to over 61 again. And that's one of those, you know, bellwether deals. The dollar broke down back under 93 today. Bonds are back up, so interest rates down. So, you know, finishing off the week with some kind of positive things for commodities across the board.
Here's the thing that scares me. Back to the grains. One of the oldest sayings in the grain trade, the bull market's over when bullish news doesn't make the market go higher. Look at the game-changing USDA report in January. Corn goes up, we go back down. Incredible export sales, daily announcements, weekly totals. Corn goes up, it goes down. Export loadings, corn goes up, corn goes down. This last USDA stocks and acres, corn skyrockets, locked limit, goes back down again.
Yeah, but the real world doesn't really have as much impact on the real world as it used to, you know, when it comes to investing. I mean, look at, you got stocks like Tesla. You know, they sold a handful of cars, and the stock valuation has them bigger than, you know, several of the major automotive manufacturers combined. You know, I mean, in a world that values reality, you know, you wouldn't see that kind of situation. And, you know, it just, you got so much fun money that chases this stuff, it can distort markets for quite a while. And in something, you know, like a stock, you can keep it inflated and distorted for a very long time. But, you know, and the same with the grains. I mean, when we have enough grain, you can shove the market lower, you know, for a long time and get it maybe way too low for a long time. But when you start running out of grain, that's when things start to get entertaining. And that's what I think is coming up in the next couple of months, is we start hitting the bottom of the barrel. And when people start, you know, going American Gladiator to get the last, you know, bit of food, it gets kind of interesting. You know, I mean, we basically don't kill each other for it. We basically use money for it. And my guess is there's going to be an awful lot of swinging for the fences to get grain before we're done this year.
Commodity broker Gordy Kulovets.